I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not analytical enough, whatever. There's a reason the acronym for belief systems is BS. But you know, we had some emotional thing happen in our childhood, either subconsciously or consciously, that we allowed to impact us and influence our entire life.
Welcome to the Passive Income Brothers podcast.
Here, we take the fear out of real estate investing using real life stories of everyday successful investors.
Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. My name is Tim Lyons, and today I'm joined by my brother and co-host, Greg Lyons. How are you doing today, Greg?
Tim, I'm doing great. We have quite a podcast today because we have one of the guys that really got us started in real estate. He's almost a mentor to us, and he doesn't even know it. So super excited to have Rod Khalif on the podcast today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, guys. I'm really excited to hopefully add some value. When I heard what you guys have done in 2 years, 700 million in acquisitions, I mean, holy cow, that's incredible. So really, really an honor to be here. And if I played a tiny, tiny role in that, I'm even more honored. So thank you for having me.
So Rod, you're talking to two brothers here that have really deep limiting beliefs, right? And we've come a long way in this 2 year cycle.
Wow.
And I can remember driving on the highway, listening to you being interviewed on Bigger Pockets. And I never heard your story before. And I remember hearing the story and I kept on saying, no way, no way. You know, the whole time you're talking, I'm going, holy cow. Like, I remember I heard the podcast. I simply turned it off. I called my brother, Greg, and I said, Greg, I said, I don't know what you're doing right now, but you have to listen to Bigger Pockets episode, blah, 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 and listen to this guy, Rod Khalif. It's incredible what the guy has done. And, you know, during that podcast, you talked about mentorship and psychology. And at the time, I wasn't ready to hear any of that mentorship, psychology, mindset that's intertwined with so many real estate entrepreneurs and podcasts. And I can tell you now that we've turned the corner on that one with coaching and mentorship and masterminds and all of that stuff. And I don't think it's any secret that we can sit here today and have someone like you on the podcast, someone that's meant so much to Greg and I and our journey, and you don't even know it yet. But I just wanted to welcome you to the show. Thank you for your time, sir. And I think your story is going to be so powerful for everybody to hear.
Well, I really appreciate that, guys. I can't tell you. And yeah, so let me tell you my story. So I'm going to go back. I'll go way back. I'm an immigrant. I was born in the Netherlands, you know, wooden shoes and windmills, and immigrated when I was 6 with my brother Albert, my mother's Vancha. We ended up in Denver, Colorado, and we really struggled initially. In fact, I remember eating expired food because we went to an expired food store and drinking powdered milk with our cereal in the morning, which I promise you sounds better than it is. You know, wearing clothes from the Goodwill and the Salvation Army all the way through junior high school until I lied about my age when I was 14 because I was tall and got a job flipping burgers at Burger King so I could buy my own clothes and then ultimately buy a car. And, you know, you may have listeners or maybe you guys even had it harder than I did back then, but I knew I wanted more. And luckily, my mom had an incredible work ethic. So she babysat kids so we'd have enough money to eat. And she is a bit of an entrepreneur with her babysitting money. We always had a house full of kids. I mean, a ton of kids. You know, she invested in the stock market successfully. She did IPOs. And then she also invested in real estate. And her first real estate acquisition was a house right across the street when I was 14. She told me she paid about $30,000 for it. And when I was 17, she told me she made $20,000 in her sleep. And I'm like, you made 20 grand. You didn't do anything. You just time. And I said, screw college, mom. I'm getting into real estate. So I went and got my real estate broker's license right when I turned 18, which you could do back then with education. They got smart now and you need some experience before you can be a broker. But I was actually a broker. I could have my own office. And so I was going to be rich in real estate. Well, my first year in real estate, I made about $8,000. My second year, maybe 10 grand. But my third year, I made over $100,000. And that was pivotal for me. See, what happened between year two and year three that caused me to 10X my income? Well, what happened? I was dating a girl and her daughter, I was dating a girl and her dad was a guy I worked with. And he taught me about mindset and psychology and how really 80 to 90% of your success is just that, your mindset and psychology. Since then, I spent 20 years following Tony Robbins around the planet, who's the best in the world at that dialogue. Fast forward to today, I've owned over 2,000 houses that I've rented long-term. We were just talking about Denver, where I had 500 at one time. Now I've owned thousands of apartment units. And in 2006, my net worth went up $17 million while I slept. And you might be like, wow. And I was like, wow. And I got a head so freaking big, I could barely fit it through a door. I thought I was a real estate god. And you know when that happens, God of the universe will give you a nice little smack. Well, that was 2008. I lost $50 million in 2008. And so what I'm known for on my podcast and, you know, my events is talking about, you know, the mindset it took to have $50 million to lose in the first place. And then, of course, the mindset it took to get back to the success that I'm blessed to have today. And I'd love to drill down on some of that strategy with you guys, if you'd like.
Absolutely. My wife is going to be very happy having a Denverite on the podcast. The great Lisa Hosak from Littleton, Colorado is going to be quite happy with this one. Rod, from humble beginnings, you've come so far twice. And a lot of people...
Actually, more than twice. I usually don't talk about the first time. There was a first time I crashed and burned as well. Had my house foreclosed on. But anyway, no, it's been three times. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Finding that resolve, either way, one time, two times, three times, a lot of people never give themselves the opportunity to have to come back from something because they're just so set in their ways, W-2 job, 401k. And they never take that leap into real estate, or they never take that leap into whatever that is that they think they want to do. From your perspective, what is the first thing an aspiring real estate entrepreneur should focus on when they're getting into real estate?
Sure. And, good question.
Yeah.
Good question. No, I will tell you, or they give up after they try and they have a nosebleed, or, you know, they have a problem. Okay. And, you know, the thing to remember about entrepreneurs is they only die if they stop swimming like a shark. Okay. We literally fail our way to success. I'm going to tell you, I don't call them failures. That was a $50 million seminar. I call them seminars. And actually got that from Tony Robbins. That's an expression he uses, but that was the biggest seminar I ever had. Now, I will tell you, I've built 27 businesses in my life so far, and several have been worth tens of millions of dollars. Most have been spectacular flaming seminars. Okay. We fail our way to success. And, you know, I got to meet the billionaire owner of Spanx, Sarah Blakely, you know, woman's undergarments, you know, hold everything together. That lady and beautiful human being, by the way. I met her at a mastermind, actually. And she told me, and she started with 5,000, just sold the company, I think, for a few billion to a venture capital fund. But she told me that her dad used to ask her and her brother once a week, what have you failed at this week? And I thought, what an awesome freaking question to ask your kids so they don't fear failure. So what's the first thing someone should think about if they're thinking about getting into this business? They've got to create what Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich, calls a burning desire. They got to want it. Okay. You really have to want it because, you know, Tim, you were talking about limiting beliefs. I got to tell you, the only way you're going to push through those, let me talk about limiting beliefs for a minute. You know, when I immigrated this country, I was 6 years old and I got thrown into school and I didn't speak English. And my mom, you know, and I found out what bullies were for the first time. And then my mom, proud Dutch woman that she is, thought it'd be a great idea to send me to school in wooden shoes and those leather shorts the Germans wear for Oktoberfest, you know, the Lederhosen. So I got my ass kicked again. And then they chased me home from school, the bullies, and she chased them off with a fly swatter. So you can imagine what happened the next day, another butt kicking. And so I came up with this limiting belief that wasn't good enough, you know, and a lot of people have these limiting beliefs. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not analytical enough, whatever. And there's a reason the acronym for belief systems is BS, okay? Because 99.9% of them are BS. But, you know, we had some emotional thing happen in our childhood, either subconsciously or consciously, that we allowed to impact us and influence our entire life. So if you're listening and you've got one of those and you know what it is, it's critical that you drag it out into the daylight. You look at it with your adult rational mind, recognize that it's BS and it will diminish. Now, the key here is you've got to do it consciously. If it pops up, think about it consciously, recognize that it's BS and it will diminish. It won't happen overnight. But I mean, I used to be afraid of raising my hand in class and afraid I'd get picked on, embarrassed, humiliated. And now I speak in front of thousands of people a year. You know, I spoke in front of a bunch yesterday at a podcast festival. And so the point is you can diminish any of these limiting beliefs with that strategy. Now, back to your question. So if you're out there on the sidelines and you haven't taken action, and maybe you fear failure, you fear rejection, I'm going to tell you, fear regret a lot more. I'll give you an example of why this is important. Okay. There was this nurse in Australia, a hospice nurse. So she took care of patients when they were about to die, right? And Tim, I know you were a nurse previously, which is says a lot about your heart, because I will tell you, you've got to have a great, amazing heart to be able to do that job. My daughter just came off her last round of chemo. Thank God she's cancer-free. Literally last week, she got to ring the bell at Moffitt Cancer Center, and I got to see you know, what nursing is about. And man, oh man, that is a, amazing. You know, an incredible, incredible thing that people do there. But anyway, so she was a hospice nurse and she asked her patients a question. And the question, guys, was, do you have any regrets? Powerful question. When people were about to die, she wrote a book about it. It's called The Five Regrets of Dying. You know what the number one regret was? Not living the life I could have lived, living someone else's life, not doing what I know I'm capable of. Guys, I can't think of anything worse than that. So again, if you're fearing failure, fear that, okay? Fear being in the same place you are right now a year from now, unless you freaking love where you are right now. And by the way, if you're interested in multifamily, I've got a boot camp coming up. And if you're friends of Tim and Greg here, I'll give you guys an incredible deal. I'll just tell you real quick. It's 3 days. It's not a sales pitch. It's in Denver at the end of July, 29th, 30th, 31st. And it's not a sales pitch. You can come for $197. Yes, for all 3 days. And it's not a sales pitch. It's drinking through a freaking fire hose, though. I will tell you that. You will learn every aspect of this business. But if you want to come, text my name, Rod, to 72345. But remember this, use the code RODFRIEND. And you'll also get my deal evaluator software and you get my document library, which hell are worth 10 times the 197 by themselves. So again, text Rod to 72345 and use the code RODFRIEND and you get those bonuses. But anyway, the key to getting started is to have enough of a burning desire that you push through those limiting beliefs, that you push through fear, that you get uncomfortable. Comfort zone's a nice warm place. And guys, we all know nothing freaking grows there, right? And so that's what gets you to push through it. And you know, you need that burning desire so you can grind for a few years like most people won't, like you guys have the last couple, to live the rest of your life like most people can't, okay? And so, you know, that's what you need. And so one of the first things you do, if you come to my boot camp, the first thing we're going to do is goal setting on steroids. The first hour and a half is goals. Because how the hell are you going to get anything if you don't know what it is, right? You need to know what it is you want with clarity. And then as importantly, you need to know why you want it, okay? Because it's the why that's going to drive you. And so we spend an hour and a half doing just that. And you know, I'm going to tell you, my boot camp's not like your typical real estate seminar. You will cry. I promise you, you'll laugh. Because I spend a lot of time on mindset too. There's a reason, you know, I've got coaching students. They're called my warriors. I've been teaching a little over 4 years. They own somewhere in the 60 to 70,000 unit range that we know of. I think it's more than that. And I mean, I'm really proud of that. In fact, I'm most proud of that next to my kids. So, but anyway, you've got to want it. And so the goals are critical. And listen, if you can't make my boot camp, I did my goal setting workshop. I do it every year. I did it on January 1st of this year on New Year's Day. And if you go to rodslinks.com, it's at the bottom. That's all my stuff. It's got my free books and all sorts of cool stuff there that you can get. But at the bottom is my goal setting workshop with a free guide you can download, which is incredible for you to do with your significant other, number one. Do with your kids if they're like 12 years old or older. Have them do their goals with me. It's with music. It's professionally done. Really proud of it. You'll really enjoy it. And at the end of it, I teach a weekly planning process that's really powerful as well. It's about 15 minutes that I talk about that. It's how I manage two very large companies at the same time. And so that's also a little benefit there as well. But you got to know what you want and why you want it. It starts with that. And we can keep going with this. I mean, there's some other things that are involved, but that's probably the starting point.
Rod, I really wish that you brought some emotion and energy with you today.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm a little tired. You know, I'm a little, because that's part of what I talk about because, listen, let's say you decide you want to do this business, you want to invest passively or actively, either one. But really actively, probably this applies to more. If you find out that you don't love it, but now I'm going to tell you, you can learn to love anything. You associate pleasure with it. You can learn to love anything, exercise, whatever. You associate pleasure with it. I tell my students, equate it to hunting for buried treasure because that's really what it is. But if you can't learn to love it, for God's sakes, go do something else. Life is too freaking short, okay? But if you love it, then you're going to be passionate about it. And this business, you guys know, is a team sport. You have to influence other people. And if you're passionate, people want to work with you. They want to be around you. They, you know, and yeah, I freaking love what I do. I mean, that's why my wife puts up with me working weekends and nights and everything else. So anyway, sorry I interrupted you.
No. So if you're listening to this podcast, I highly recommend you pull the car over, right? You rewind some of this so far, but I want you to get the notebook out and the pencil sharpened, because this is gold, right? This is the stuff that I wasn't really ready to hear when I first heard Rod talk about this when Greg and I were starting on our journey. But I think you said something really powerful for setting goals, you know, doing with somebody else, whether it's your spouse or in my case, it's doing it with Greg, you know, because when you have that accountability piece to your business or to your big why or to your passions, it's really powerful for me and Greg to hop on a call now, talk about our goals, talk about what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, what are we going to do with the business personally, as fathers, as brothers, as everything. And you're doing it on this journey with somebody else. And it's so super powerful because, Rod, I mean, I don't tell you, but in my short little time, there's ups and there's downs.
Oh, you
bet. Some days where I call Greg and I'm like, Greg, we're going to fold up the business. We're going to stop the podcast. And it was great knowing you,
bro. Shut the whole thing down. Just shut it down. Shut it down.
Right. So with that being said, Rod,
you said hold on, let me interject. Hold on. Hold your thought 1 second. So you said accountability, but there's something even more important. Okay. If you do it with your significant other, in your case, your brother, but whatever, do it separately, of course, but then see how aligned you are. See if you're headed the same direction. Okay. That's critical, because your spouse may not want the same things that you want, may not want the trajectory that you want. And it's critical that you're aligned on this so you can talk through it. So that's another really important piece. Sorry, I interrupted. What was your question?
No, I was just going to say, you know, you've kind of covered a lot of ground within real estate, right? You said you had like 2,000 single family homes.
Rented long term.
Rented long term. And I think, you know, from hearing your story multiple times, it wasn't really that scalable, right? You were paying people to, you know, run to Home Depot, go drive 30 miles this way, 60 miles south the other way.
You've heard me describe it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't logistically feasible. And because I had houses 2 hours north, 2 hours south, and everywhere in between. And I was in Florida. Florida has no state income tax. So, of course, that impacts cash flow, higher property taxes. I had properties in wind and flood zones, higher insurance impacts cash flow. But yeah, what killed me is was the maintenance. If I send a maintenance guy to one of my apartment complexes, everything's the same, which is why we love multifamily, right? It's so logistically much easier to manage. Send a maintenance guy, you know, all the parts, you can stockpile the parts for the plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC, the appliances, and they're in and out in an hour, right? If I send someone to one of my houses, it's an hour and a half one way. They got to go to a Home Depot or a Lowe's. You know, see what's wrong first. Every house is different. Then go find a Home Depot or Lowe's. Could be another hour round trip. And I don't know about you, but when Rod's inexperienced self tries to fix something in his house, he always goes to Home Depot more than once. And it happens with maintenance guys too. But it just ended up, you know, and these houses, so it took all day to do something in one of my houses versus an hour at one of my apartment complexes, which really killed me. And these were C-class houses. So, you know, C-class means older, more maintenance, tougher demographic, harder on the property. So a lot more maintenance in general. So that really killed the cash flow. But then the final straw was I didn't pay attention to demographics. You know, if somebody had a decent job or business and they had good credit and they rented the house, I let them in. Well, I will tell you, this last asset we bought, I literally looked at where all 296 residents worked to gauge recession resistance on that employment. Okay, literally every single one. I look for patterns, and because, you know, most of my tenants back in the houses were in contractors, plumbers, electricians, drywallers, painters, roofers, and that fell off a freaking cliff in 2008 and 2009. There was no work. And so it was like, and, you know, people are like, you know, I post this on social media and you get the haters, and one guy's, yeah, well, if you hadn't over leveraged, that wouldn't happen. Yeah. Well, Rockstar, I was at a 30% loan to value back then. Okay. I only owed 30 cents on a dollar. I was not over leveraged. But what's interesting is I actually went upside down. My portfolio dropped over 70%. That's how massive that crash was. And by the way, we know there's a recession coming, right, guys? I mean, it's definitely coming if it's not already here. In fact, you know, Elon just posted about it today. Head of Bank of America, head of Wells Fargo, head of Fannie Mae, they've all said a recession's coming, you know, and they're much smarter than I am. So I know that, and I know it's coming. And it's not something to fear. There will be exponential freaking opportunity. I mean, if you listen to my podcast, which I told you guys, I just broke 13 million downloads. I'm really proud of that. And, you know, some of these operators that have, you know, 5,000, 6,000 doors, many of them started in 9, 10, and 11. That's a clue, right? I mean, you know, right. They got bank finance done deals. They got, now you guys are freaking anomalies. I mean, to do what you've done in 2 years, just rock star stuff. But I'm going to tell you, you know, it is definitely exponential. There is exponential opportunity when the market corrects and there's these opportunities. Because I can tell you, I don't know about you guys, you've seen some deals get into best and final and you're like, how the hell did they pay that much for that asset? They're lying to somebody. And those investors are getting BS'd. And that's all going to come to a head. And a lot of these guys did not, you know, pro forma these deals. You know, they got bridge debt because it was easy and high leverage, and they didn't pro forma these deals at higher interest rates. And the Fed's going to raise the rate another 5 times probably, unless they really creates a massive recession. So we're going to see some deals, guys. So I'd see you likely doubling your portfolio through this period if you're as aggressive as you were the last 2 years. But anyway.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And Rod, so like you just touched on a ton of great stuff there, right? So like our podcast, The Passive Income Brothers, we're focused on, you know, you're a highly paid or even a moderately highly paid professional. You know, there's so much opportunity out there that I think people just don't know it's available to them, right? So part of our investment thesis and the reason why we started Cityside Capital was, I'm a firefighter, former ER nurse, right? Greg's a W-2 worker. We understand what's available to us. And now it's our mission to educate and to, you know, scream from the rooftops. But we also want to do it in a way that is, you know, protective of the investors, right? Because anybody can pencil whip a deal on an Excel spreadsheet and make it look pretty.
That's the thing.
But it's not based in reality.
Right.
Right. Then you're really doing yourself and your investors a disservice. So, you know, you touched on single family homes. I think people can understand that. They can wrap their head around single family homes, right? If I want to get into real estate, Rod, I can save it for a down payment. I can touch it. I can see it. I can cut the grass. If I get really crazy, maybe I'll hire a property management company. But at the end of the day, there's a shift that happens with a lot of single family
landlords.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of make a pivot, right? They have this, you know, epiphany at some point in their investing career. And they say, you know what? I'm going to make the pivot into multifamily. Can you dive a little bit into why
that is? Yeah, sure. I see it every day. You know, I've got 1,000 students, my warriors around the country, and almost every one of them started with a house. In fact, pretty much everyone I interview started with a house or a duplex or something. You know, it's that courage muscle. You'll get the anomaly that started with 100 unit, but they're few and far between. And so I've got some students that did, but let me circle back to something else you said too. Okay. Yeah. So it's the courage muscle. You know, they do that. They realize it's not as scary as they think. I see it with my students with large multifamily. They're like 6 months in, no deal. It's the law of the first deal. And they're frustrated. Maybe it goes even as long as a year. And then they get that first deal. Next thing I know, they have 4 or 5. I'm like, what the hell just happened? It's just like, they're like dominoes after that first one. But I want to circle back to something else you said, because I know you've got a lot of passive investors. I mean, that listen to the show or that want to be passive investors. They just don't have, they don't want to be an operator. They just want to invest and get a nice return, which is fantastic. But here's what I want to say to you. Now, obviously you can trust Tim and Greg here, but I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of nefarious stuff out there. And if you're going to give your hard-earned money to someone, don't you think you should know a little bit about it? So there's an argument to come to my boot camp, okay? You know, I mean, if you're going to invest in the stock market, for God's sakes, most stockbrokers know how to sell. They don't know a damn thing about what's going on in the market. And so some of these operators, I'm telling you, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on out there. And if you haven't got a basic understanding of how to, you know, look at a P&L and a pro forma and see if there's some, you know, BS going on in there, then, you know, you're risking your investment. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some pain over these next couple of years with this, you know, with this recession where some of these tight deals are going to go south. And so, again, it's an argument to come to my boot camp, very much argument. I also have a free resource I'm happy to provide here. I've got this list of questions that you should ask a GP that I'm happy to give your peeps, questions to ask a GP before you invest in a deal. And you might not think of, hang on, I'm just looking for it here. I write lots of books. Yeah, and questions to ask a general partner before you invest in a syndication. If you guys want it, just text GP questions to 72345. And it's a free download, but it's smart questions like, you know, have you gone full cycle on a deal? Who's going to manage it? How often do you submit cash flow? What syndication law firm are you working with? You know, how do you communicate to your investors? You know, can I do a background check? Have you had any failures? How have you dealt with those failures? What kind of offering, 506 B or C? What's your CapEx budget? You know, just questions you may not, as a novice, know to ask, and they'll help you learn this business as well. But
Rod, that's a great point. And that's actually how Cityside Capital became Cityside Capital. And we, you know, we got our Series 82 and our Series 63, mm-hmm. and we work with a broker dealer. And because mm-hmm. we work with a broker dealer, we're held to a much higher standard, right? There's a suitability analysis. There's know your client. We have a third party due diligence firm. We have our own underwriting team. We have our own chief compliance officer. We have mm-hmm. our own legal counsel, you know, so because when people, the most valuable thing for people, Rod, is time, right? So if you're working or a small business owner or whatever you are, and you don't have the time or the knowledge or the skills to underwrite a deal
or the desire,
right? So that's where Greg and I kind of said, you know, there's a real need here, right? Mm-hmm. There's a real need to kind of do that due diligence on our end, right? Mm-hmm. Qualify the deal, qualify the operators, qualify the markets. You know, and then by the time we hit send on our email list, people know that somebody else has kind of done the heavy lifting for them. And obviously, we always encourage our investors to do their own due diligence.
Sure.
But you're so right. Like, there's so many people go to a conference and they think they're a syndicator and they go out and get risky bridge debt and then they're underfunded and they're over leveraged. And also,
let me give you an example. There is a big name out there that we both know. I can't say it out loud. And I got a couple of his packages. Okay. And he's in the, you know, in the 60 million or above range, 100 million in many cases, Miami based. And he's got his pro forma showing a 10% rent increase all of the next 5 years. What do you think the likelihood of that is, especially where we are in the market cycle? It's not. Now, yes, we've had a couple of unbelievable freaking rent increase years, unsustainable, frankly, that level of rent increase. People are, you know, going homeless right now over it. It can't continue. And so, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about, guys, where you can look at a pro forma and pay attention to what they're doing with the rent. And then you don't see the expenses go up at all. Okay. You've got expenses are going to go up too. I mean, good God, look at inflation. Look at the, you know, the supply chain issues that we're having and stuff, you know, cost of lumber, you know. So anyway, it's important that you have an understanding of that stuff so you can, again, put your, you know, it's not a huge thing to review, but you need to do it. So anyway, I'm rambling.
Yeah. It's an issue. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, you touched on a recession and we are coming to the close of the second quarter in 2022. And by the time the second quarter is over, we may technically be in a recession.
Right.
How do you think about multifamily and an economic slowdown? And and what do you see for your properties, investors, and those sort of things?
Well, let's start with inflation. Okay. Yes, the price of everything goes up, but what else goes up, guys? Rents, right? We just talked about that. So, you know, there's no better hedge against inflation than cash flowing real estate. And there's no better cash flowing real estate than multifamily. When COVID happened, did you see retail getting money from the government? Did you see office and industrial getting money from the government other than some PPL loans? No, but renters, I mean, we got hundreds of thousands of dollars in rental assistance through renters that we had in some of our assets, you know, that the government protected. You know, I actually thought COVID was going to cause a recession. In fact, I did a YouTube video, The Coming Recession of 2021, and I got a lot of hate, but it was the largest, of course, the highest watched video I've ever done because people love that negative stuff. But the point is, it was a blip. And even in 2008, when the market crashed, within 3 years, multifamily rents had exceeded 2006 levels, 3 years of the crash. That's how fast it bounced back from that massive crash. And so, you know, multifamily is incredibly resilient. People need a place to live. There is a huge shortage of housing right now. I think it's 1.4 million units were short in 2022. So there's huge pent-up demand. So, which is why I don't believe it's going to be a much of an impact at all in multifamily. But what is going to impact is those cap rates going up because interest rate is going up, which is going to make it harder for people that have done these skinny deals to refinance. And I think there's going to be opportunity there. There's going to be, you know, capital issues on the capital stack, even in the development field. I know a guy that's building houses to rent, and they're having some capital issues because of, you know, it's funny, you know, a lot of people in the business will put their head in the sand and get scared, and capital can dry up at some points in a recession like this. And that's going to impact values and and operators, you know, that didn't account for it. And, you know, and of course, if things get a little worse than I think they might get and people get laid off and you see some pullback, any operator that didn't have some operating reserves put aside, like we do 6 months expenses every time, any operator that didn't stress test a deal to look at what their break even is and, you know, stress test the interest rates and occupancy and so on and so forth, you know, could have a seminar. So,
yeah, I think what you're saying is it's not the time for investors to stick their head in the sand.
No, absolutely not. There's going to be incredible opportunity in there. And multifamily is not a vehicle. I mean, look at the stock market. Let's not even talk about digital currency. I mean, I saw some guy crying for losing $2 million on a TikTok video. I mean, they just got creamed, trillions and trillions of dollars in lost value in the stock market. And I mean, you don't see that in multifamily. No, you don't. And I'm going to tell you, you know, most investors, I'm going to say, that have been around a while, certainly ones that have gone through a crash, like me, I'm super, super conservative. And you know, hit me once, shame on you, hit me twice, it's my own damn fault. But I do believe there's going to be incredible opportunity. There's no reason to, you know, now we're kissing a lot of frogs, like I know you guys are right now, but you are seeing to soften it up. We're actually getting calls back from brokers for the first time in 3 years, you know, because things have slowed down. And we were in best and final and could have gotten a deal here in Sarasota that was in the 41, 42 million range. And they said we could get it for 38 and we backed out just because the debt market's too volatile right now. But pricing, what do they call it? Pricing discovery. There's a lot of pricing discovery going on right now with the lenders to try to determine where these prices are going to shake out. So you're going to see a lot of that. Anyway, I'll stop.
Right. I mean, we could spend hours doing this, but I mean, you know, it's a couple of things you just touched on, which a lot of the passive investors and active investors need to, whether you're in multifamily or single family, you got to follow the data, right? This is not a game where you trust your gut and you just go on emotion. That's a pretty house with cool backsplashes. No. Where's the population growth? Where's the job growth? Where is the rent growth? What are the 1-3-5 mile rents? Is it under rented? Is it at, you know, what's the absorption of the new units? Mm-hmm. There's so much that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And it begs the question, you know, do you need to do this by yourself? Or because a lot of limiting beliefs around people that we talk to about passively investing, Rod, right? People want to be the ones to be in control. People want to be the ones to do the work. But there's a great book, Who Not How, right? And it's a great question, right? Who are you
surrounding yourself
with?
Funny, that's the second time in 3 days I've heard that book. I've not read it, but that's a God.
Oh, that's a must read, Rod. Okay. That's got to be the next one up.
I'm right.
Cue that one up.
Okay.
So who are you surrounding yourself with? And then who are the experts in your ecosystem that could help you get to where you want to be? And I think that's so powerful. And that's, you know, if you want to touch on a little bit about how that's helped you, whether it's masterminds or being in the right room with people.
In fact, make me a co-host and I'll throw a picture up that will... you know, do you throw these on YouTube?
We do.
Okay, yeah. Those of you that can't see this, I'll describe what I'm going to throw up here as a picture. I'll share my screen here. You know, I never went to college. Now, that's not to say that I am not, you know, I don't value education, but there's some of the boot camps and workshops that I've gone to. And what you're seeing is me with my arms stretched with hundreds of lanyards around my neck and around my arms from boot camps and masterminds that I've attended, because learners are earners, my friend. So
Rod, that's actually a good spot for us to kind of transition into the last three questions that we ask every guest that we have here. Mm-hmm. And it's really just kind of what comes from your gut, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first one that we ask, Rod, is something from Robert Kiyosaki. And obviously, if you're in the real estate podcast game, you're going to hear Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the cash flow quadrant. You're going to hear that over and over again.
Right.
But he says something on his podcast and in his literature that kind of can turn the uninitiated off a little bit. And what he says is savers are losers and debtors are winners. So when we're in this current economic environment and with real estate investing as like the overarching theme, what does that statement mean to you?
Well, first of all, it's not enough information, okay? It's the right kind of debt that's relevant in that statement, okay? He's not talking about car loans. He's not talking about your personal house loan. He's not talking about furniture debt, okay? Credit card debt. He's talking about leveraged real estate, not over-leveraged, properly, carefully leveraged like you guys and we do. Okay. And so, but as far as savers, listen, I've got so much cash in the bank right now. It is freaking killing me because you know, I want to be in some cash to capitalize on some of these, what I think deals that are going to come down the pike. You know, there may not be a lot of them, but I want to be able to jump on them if they do show up like I anticipate. And so it's killing me to see my cash, you know, value go down every single day. I'd much rather have it placed in real estate right now. If you're just saving money, I mean, what are your returns, for God's sakes, if anything, you know? And if you can take and leverage into some real estate, you know, you can maximize the return on that money and double your money very often in a few years, every few years, like we do with our assets. So, you know, that's the answer to your question. Hopefully I answered that.
Absolutely. No, that's good. You know, our second question that we usually ask is from Jim Rohn, and another one of our mentors. And this one's especially good for you, I think. And he said that formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. What does that mean to you?
Well, listen, I will tell you, you know, we've been traditionally thought to go to school, go to college, get a job, get a pension. Well, let me tell you something. My dad worked for Continental Airlines for 36 years. Okay. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, you could always tell a Continental plane because it had the golden tail and flying by even at, you know, thousands of feet. And he'd make us put our hand over our heart when a Continental plane went by. It's how much he loved the company. He worked there 36 years and got laid off. Okay. There is no job security. The only job security you have is between your ears. That's number one. Number two, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe after 36 years, he got a great pension. You know how much my mom gets from his pension? I think it's $597 a month. Okay. So listen, if you go the traditional route, you're never going to have, now I think college is great for technical roles, doctors, dentists, lawyers, architects, fine. If you're really interested in, you know, building something for yourself, you've got to go outside of the norm. Okay. That, and like I just showed you my education, I showed you the lanyards and the things. And if you saw my library, I have thousands of books and I'm self-taught, but I will tell you the new way of learning is what we're describing here. It's boot camps, like my boot camp coming up in Denver. It's masterminds. I host the largest multifamily mastermind on the planet. There's about $16 billion in assets in there. It's getting around people. And I started that, you know, three or four years ago here at my compound in Florida. I had 16 operators show up. It's about $1 billion in assets. And because I wanted to see how it worked, because I've been in masterminds before and it was just incredible. You know, guys, those of you listening, you want to be around people that think what you think is hard is easy. Okay. And that's how you grow and you learn. Most college professors have never done a business. Okay. And they're trying to teach you how to do a business. No. If you're going to learn how to lose weight, do you want to learn from a fat person? No. Okay. You need to learn from somebody that's done it. I'm sorry. That's probably politically incorrect, but I don't care, honestly. But the bottom line is you got to learn from people that have done what you want to do and be around people that, again, think what you think is hard is easy. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what I got there.
No, Rod, it's gold. I love it. So far, okay. So good, my brother. I'm loving every minute of this. So listen, the last question. You know, there's a term out there, Tina. There is no alternative, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, if you're sitting in cash, yes, you know, if you have an opportunity to hold cash, and then when there's blood in the streets and there's opportunity, go for it. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But right now, outside of, say, treasuries that are yielding maybe 2-3% or, you know, a CD at the bank, 1.5-2%, you know, people say real estate is risky. And I think we covered a lot of that today. But right now, if you had cash in the bank, right, what would you say to somebody that says, you know what, Rod, I have $1 million in the bank, but real estate is too risky?
I'd say you are uninformed. I don't want to use the word ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean stupid. Ignorant just means unknowledgeable, but you're ignorant. Okay. Because we've got two incredible deals coming down the pike right now that, you know, be probably 15% return IRR, 8-10 in the cash on cash, which in this market is pretty incredible. And these are at 50-50 splits. I don't know if you guys explain the splits on the back end. You know, most people are having to do 70-30, 80-20 to make the numbers work. And both these are 50-50, a small deal and a large deal. But the point is, and that's conservative, again, with 6% interest pro forma out in case the rates go up. It's got a big rate cap. These rate caps are incredible right now with bridge debt, like $1 million on one of them and 6 months operating reserve and on and on and on, you know, and still have those kind of returns. So the deals are there. Now, did we kiss 300 frogs to find those deals? Yes. Okay. So the point is, when you can get those kinds of returns versus 1.5% from the freaking bank, and it's secured by real estate with, you know, with an operator that's got some track record, I think it's common sense to know what you should be doing. Okay. Especially if you're not going to be an operator and you want to invest passively, you know? So again, not to be offensive, but you're making a big mistake because you know, especially right now, because cash is, you know, inflation is eating your freaking cash right now. So it's killing me. I mean, it's literally killing me. And I'll tell you something, if something doesn't happen pretty quickly, I'm just going to throw it out there, even if it's not, you know, when the blood's running in the streets, because it truly is killing me to see it go down. Pray to God they rein it in. But anyway, I don't know if I answered the question. No,
that was perfect. That's perfect. Okay. I mean, that's what we're talking about on this podcast. Yeah. That's why it's so powerful. So listen, I think we're at time here because I know that if we ask even one more question, we're just going to be here all day long. So I love your enthusiasm.
Well, thank you. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you guys having me on. Listen, one more plug for the boot camp. If you can come to Denver, for God's sakes, there'll be 1,000 people there. That's what we're anticipating. This business is a team sport. You can align with people. You know, you'll learn every aspect of this business, and for $197, it's like a duh, seriously. Okay. And no, so again, text Rod to 72345. Remember to use the code RODFRIENDS. You'll get my software and document library. And I promise you'll be glad you came. In fact, if you come and you don't freaking love it, I'll give you your money back. I don't mean like it. I mean, love it. Okay.
Now that's a deal.
All right. There you go. Thanks for having me, guys.
This will all be in the show notes. And we'll have all that information for you to connect with Rod. You can also go to rodkalief.com.
No, Real Estate with Rod. Nobody can spell my name. Go to Real Estate with Rod. It's a direct link to rodkalief.com. But even better than that, use Rod's links. Go to Rod's links because everything is there. Free books, free resources, videos. So go to, and that goal setting thing I was talking about, go to rodslinks.com, and that has everything.
Rod, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
For your time. I hope to meet you in person one day. Maybe I'll be at the Denver.
I'd love it if you came. You come as my guest if you guys can come. Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
We will see all you guys next week on another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Passive Income Brothers podcast. We would be grateful for your support of our podcast by giving our show a 5-star rating and review, and subscribing to our show on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to take inspired action after listening to this show so that you can start building out your passive income streams. Finally, head on over to citysidecap.com to connect with us and find out more information about how to get started passively investing in real estate.